Today, I just might close the series on the kingdom of God. Don't hold me to it, but it just might happen, okay? We're not going to close the kingdom. But anyway, I want to close the series, and I want to use Matthew 25 as a launching point this morning. But you really, to hit 25 and understand chapter 25, and we're going to go through the whole chapter, Lord willing, you kind of have to understand where he's coming from and what he was saying in verse 24. And he said in verse 3 of 24, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will all these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And then Jesus begins to tell his disciples that there will be many things happening. There will be deception, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, hatreds, betrayals, lawlessness. Men will be fearful. And then he said, "You don't know the day or the hour when I will return, but you do know the times and the seasons." And then he shares Matthew 25, which is a series of parables that, this is what I've entitled this message, "Be Ready." And so let's just start here with the first parable he shares in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven." So he said all these things, and there are a lot of negative things in there, but then he says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So he shares there in chapter 24, and then he says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like." And so he gives these series of parables, and he starts here with the first one about the 10 virgins. And there are many interpretations to these parables. And there's a lot of them out there. You have to choose which one you believe. But to me, the 10 virgins does not necessarily mean 10 Christians. It means 10 potential brides, okay? 5 of them were wise and 5 of them are foolish. One interesting interpretation is that the 10 virgins all represent the body of Christ, and 5 are pursuing after God and 5 are not. They are playing church. They're apostate. And the pursuers will, following after God, will not go through the tribulation, but the apostate church will go through the tribulation. That's one interpretation. I don't like that interpretation, but it's got some validity to it. Another one is that there are 5 saved and 5 lost. But to me, that's bad doctrine because you can't, go by your salvation. As they said, we can't give you our oil. You need to go and buy some. So Another interpretation is that five of them, they're all saved, but five are filled with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit means oil, and five are not. To me, that's bad doctrine because you can't go by the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, in Acts 8, when Simon the sorcerer went to the disciples and said, "Give me this power, I'll give you some money, give me this power," and, you know, that didn't work out so good for him. But to me, we miss the meaning if we try to say who is saved and who's baptized with the Holy Spirit, because we can look and say, all right, I'm saved, check. I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit, check. And we can miss the whole point of the parable. So my interpretation is the oil does not equal the Holy Spirit. It equals a combustible source. That's what it equals. All of these virgins had several things in common. They were all virgins. They were all asleep. They all heard the bridegroom. They all woke up. They all had lamps. They all trimmed their lamps. They all went out to meet him. And they all had oil at some point. Because in verse 8 it says, "The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." So what is the meaning therefore? Well, he tells us in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The meaning is, be watchful, attentive. Don't be overtaken and not aware of what is ahead. Be active. The kingdom of heaven is not about idleness, but readiness. Hallelujah. Just because the Lord delays his coming, don't get upset. Don't think he forgot about us or he doesn't care. Because if he delays his coming, it's because he's so gracious, he wants more to come in the kingdom. Amen. 2 Peter 3 says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning." So you have these people that were saying, where is the Lord? What, all this mess is going on around us. Where is he? And Peter said, they're scoffers, they're mockers. And Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So you see the heart of God. He doesn't want any to perish, so he delays his coming. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace." Hallelujah. You know, it's peace is available to you in the middle of all of this craziness going on. "Be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." The Lord is patient in his return because he wants more to come. So we are encouraged to live ready, live lives that are watchful. We are looking. Our eyes are up, hallelujah, and we're walking in an evil world, but our eyes are up. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. We are not to pull back, but as that good word in the King James, occupy till I come, do business till I come, be about the Father's business. We are to overcome idleness and cynicism and complaining that we are subject to. And then he immediately gives another parable in verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." Make note of that. To each one he gave talents according to their ability. "And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you gave me 5. Look, I've gained 5 more besides that. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Hallelujah. Can you see that one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, God, you gave me this. They recognized what God had given them. He said, you gave me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. The Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what is the meaning of this parable? Well, I do think this is about saved and unsaved, because it says, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But to me, there's a greater message than this. True believers, if you're a true Christ follower, your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. God has given you things according to your ability. I can't doesn't cut it with God. I don't have what it takes doesn't cut it with God, because God says, oh yeah, I gave it to your ability. Now, if you try to compare yourself to someone else, you maybe not line up, but you need to line up with what I gave you according to your ability. Hallelujah. Not all of us have the same ability. Hallelujah. But we all have the same availability. Come on. Hallelujah. That's good preaching right there. True believers live with a passion to know that their lives have purpose and they are doers. They are doing something with what God gave them. They are ready. They live ready. They live active lives. And the Lord's expectation is not for us to be idle, not to be surprised when he comes, but to be active and engaged and ready. And he said to them, and it's on the screen, he delivered his goods to them, to each according to his own ability. God has given you something, and he expects that and more in return. Hallelujah. That's God's expectation. You're not going to be able to stand up and say, my pastor didn't tell me, because I just did. And I told you a few weeks ago and a lot more times. Hallelujah. How many of y'all have heard it before today? Okay, those without your hands up, you weren't here, you're not listening. So you got to, the day's happening, it's coming. Hallelujah. God expects something back and more than what he gave you. Your life changed when God came into your life. Amen. He gave you gifting specifically tailored to you and the way you are. You say, well, I'm a mess. God knows it. And he said, I'm going to give something to you in the middle of all your mess. Hallelujah. You do have what it takes. You do have something to give. It may not look like much compared to others, but if you're doing it as unto the Lord, hey, when God got his disciples together and they were kind of up here, and I can just see them kind of up here like the three old men in the Muppets, you know. He's got his disciples, he's looking down, he goes, let's look at the people coming and giving money. And they're coming down. Some are pushing their wheelbarrows with lots of money, various amounts. And then this little old lady comes up, and she's got one penny, and she throws it in. And he says, Manny, Moe, and Jack, who do you think gave the most? I said, well, that guy with the wheelbarrow, hey, man, that's a lot of stuff. He said, no, that little widow, she gave the most. God sees different than we see. Hallelujah. She gave beyond her ability. She gave all she had. Hallelujah. And it didn't amount to much compared to others, but in the eyes of God, he saw the heart. Hallelujah. So the day of saying, I can't and I don't have, are behind you, glory to God. And also, this one guy that took what he had, his perception of God affected what he did. He said, you are hard, you are austere, you take, you're not a giver, God, you're a taker. He had a perception of God, and this affected what he did with what he had, and it cost him. So one of the things we got to do is get our perceptors right. God is good. I don't care what you're going through, God is good. Hallelujah. What happened in Virginia Beach is very tragic, but let me tell you, God is good. Hallelujah. You know, this chapter 25, it demands our attention. It demands serious examination. And so you have to ask yourself, what am I doing with what God has given me? And he goes on in verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, so here's the kingdom, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. There will be nations in heaven. Hallelujah. Every tribe, every tongue, every language. God doesn't make us all the same in heaven. He brings all that diversity, and we're all gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So once again, many people take this and look at it as saved and unsaved, and certainly that is. There's sheep and there's goats, and one group receives eternal life and one everlasting punishment. But it's interesting, in this parable, the only difference is what the people did and did not do. That's the difference. Was what they did. And look, we know that we don't work for our salvation, but we also know that if we're truly saved, we work. We do the works of God. God in your life affects you to affect the lives of other people. And if that's not happening in your life, then you really need to ask yourself some questions. Because God in your life, His compassionate heart will drive you to see, to do, and to respond. And I notice this response here is to strangers, people you don't know. I mean, you can know them, but many of them you don't know. I call them unknowners. And usually unknowners are people that don't look like us, act like us, and talk like us. They're different than us. That means to approach that person requires a little bit of a risk on your part, a little bit of uncomfortableness, a challenge. Will this person receive me? Well, if they don't receive you, the Lord said, shake, rattle, and roll. Shake it off. Don't get into it. I'm just trying to be nice to you. Just go on to the next one. But it does require some risk to go into a situation that is volatile. But that's what true believers do. Because it's innate in the heart of Christ followers to have God's compassion. It emanates from us. When you think of a moth coming to a flame, the moth, it's like irresistible. But he's attracted to it, but it's dangerous. If he gets too close to that flame, whoo, he's burnt up. And that's the way believers are. There's something that's almost irresistible, that we're attracted to something that can hurt us, but that's what God does. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Matter of fact, He says, they will kill you. They will throw you in prison. They will speak evil of you. My coming, I don't come to bring peace. There's going to be a sword. There's going to be separation. There will be separations in very households. Are you tracking with me this morning? Hallelujah. Our lives must include risk, dirt, and investment. Hallelujah. So don't miss the message of these parables. They're a series of back-to-back-to-back parables. The virgins, five wise, five foolish. Be ready. I'm coming. The talents given to each one according to his ability. It tells us how to live ready. God has given you something. Holy Spirit-led activity should be happening in our lives, knowing our lives have purpose. Our eyes are set beyond our current situation, and we have perspective that God is good, and there will be an accounting, and we serve Him with gladness, putting our lives on the line because we know that there is something more than the vapor of our lives on this earth. And then, so he says, virgins, that's like, be ready. Talents, I've given you what you need to do. You have the goods. And then sheep and goats, the fruit of whether you were ready or not. Did you do anything? Now look, all of us face challenges in life. I've gotten many comments on my shirt this morning. All of them have been positive, so you either like it or you were lying to me. Jerry likes it. Some people said it's because you went on vacation. Well, no, I didn't have that in mind. I wore this with purpose because I need to brighten things up. Because life's been hitting me. Look, I hesitate to share this, but I just love such a small church because we're family. My wife's not here this morning. She had a meltdown last night. She came to bed. I was up there laying in bed. She came in. She goes, I don't know if I can do this anymore. She lays down beside me. She starts crying. Put my arm around her. I said, what's going on? She goes, all I do around here is clean up, clean up, clean up. And she's a care provider for her mother, our granddaughter, two cats, and two dogs, and a pastor. Sometimes it can be overwhelming at times. We all go through that. I just held her close and I prayed for her. I said, you need to get out. Just go. Go somewhere. Now this is almost 10 o'clock at night. She goes, all right. I said, go to Sonic. Go get a dessert. I'll go with you. But what do you want me to do? She goes, I want you to stay here with Mom. I said, all right. She goes, I'm going to Kroger's. I said, it is 10 o'clock. She goes, they're open 24 hours a day. I said, go for it, baby. And I'm sharing that with you not to embarrass my wife. We all know her. I mean, they just don't come any better than her, you know? But we all go through stuff. And so we need each other. And so I wore this shirt today because I've been facing a lot of negative reports and things around me. And it's easy to succumb to those things and be overwhelmed by them. And so I just said, I need to perk it up here. I prophesied to myself by my shirt. Hallelujah. It's the flowers, man. There's life around if you want to see it. Hallelujah. You can do things to come out of the situation you're in, or you can wallow in it. That's just the way it is. I like to go out and look at flowers and just think, I just sarcastically say, boy, evolution sure had a lot going on here. No, the creation of God Almighty, to see just the beauty of a flower. Watch, my neighbor has beehives. Just go over, put the bee suit on. I have the bee suit. He's given me a bee suit I wear when I help him. And just to see these little things, just they're constantly moving. They got activity. Just to see my dog and how he loves me unconditionally. I see God in so much around us. Or you can wallow in all this negative, because the negative is going to keep coming. And that's what he said in Matthew 24. It's going to be wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, men's fear, men's hearts failing them for fear. It's all around us. And then he gave us these three parables. In the middle of all of that, I want you to be ready. I want you to be watchful. I've given you things, and I'm coming back. Occupy till I come. So we all face those external situations that challenge us, aggravate us, frustrate us. We all face internal struggles of our past, and we run to false comforters. And we all face demonic attack that the enemy wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy from us. But beloved, don't cave. Hallelujah. Don't cave. Don't lose perspective that God is good. Rise above the noise and the frustration and the temptation to throw the towel in and live a life that is pleasing to God. because you will stand there that day, one day. And don't do works just to save yourself. Do it from the passion of what He's given you on the inside. Will you rise up this morning? Will you rise up above whatever you're facing? Because what you're facing is legitimate. It's legitimate, but it legitimately wants to take over your life. Hallelujah. Let's just stand to our feet. I want to bless you in Jesus' name. And I want to challenge you. You're here this morning. The Holy Spirit has clearly spoke to you. And you just need to say, Lord, I hear it. I am moving forward. I'm casting those things off that are weighing me down. I'm slamming the door on the enemy. And you just need to do that right now. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand, yes. Lord, I pray for these, Lord, that are facing these struggles, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for victory. I pray, Lord, for perspective to come. I pray, Lord, that each one would receive from you and see your goodness, Lord, in the middle of all of this adversity going on around us. We declare God is good. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you for each one here. I pray your mighty blessing to come down from heaven and minister to them. I pray, Lord, that there would be a gratefulness that would rise in each heart. Lord, for what you have given each one of us, that we would be thankful for it. It may not be what others have, but Lord, it's what you gave us. And we give you thanks for it. Lord, help us to use what you have given us for your glory, to live life with purpose and passion. And bless my precious family here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.